I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
We are dramatizing the story of the naked, demon-filled Gadarene in the cemetery, whose demons Jesus deceived into dividing and destroying themselves in the pigs in the sea. On the very night when so much Old Testament prophecy is fulfilled, is the day he's officially rejected by his own, branded the devil himself. And Scripture tells us it is on that night of that day that he then reaches out to those of us who are not Jews, to the Gentiles, and he establishes his kingdom in the land of darkness. This story is so good. If you haven't been here the last three segments, definitely go online, listen, get a CD, the CDs afterwards, because this thing is building. And today I'm going to try something I've not done before, because I got a big scripture I want to read at the end, and normally I'd spend a lot of time trying to show you how it all lines up, but what I'm going to do today is I just stripped all the commentary out of it. I'm just going to read it, but I'm going to take all the sound effects and the music that we have used in the last three sermons, and I'll put it in where it goes, because I think that will do the job. I think you will see how it all connects and how unbelievable God's word is. That's what we're doing. That's what we're talking about. We are practicing enjoying our Father's stories like the children we are called to be.
Why?
See, if you weren't here, we learned this. Huh?
Why?
Well, I'll tell you why. Because the joy of the Word is our strength. Now, you all know the scripture, the joy of the Lord is our strength, right? And you all know his given name in scripture is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Revelation, the name on him, the Word. So just change the title Lord for his name, the Word, and look how different that reads. Read it with me. The joy of the Word is our strength. Say amen. Oh, that's good. That's good. Okay. And it's not, the other reason we're doing all this, it is not natural for us as adults, born into sin, living in a land of darkness, it is not natural for us to hear with our heart what he wrote with his. We got to practice being children. Last time we got together, I had you imitate the pigs so we could record it for the little production. And you did really good. You made really good pigs. But now you get to be the terrified townspeople who come out and beg Jesus to go away and leave them. Just leave me, Jesus, leave me alone. I want you to beg Jesus to go away. It's not like you've never done that before, right? I mean, let's be honest. Most of us, it's all of us, but I'll just say for politeness, most of us at some point in some way have clearly said to Jesus, just leave me to live my life how I like. And I'll tell you, this has plagued me. Ever since I wrote that down, you know, to preach at you, it keeps preaching at me. I wrote that down. It's just haunted me because I'm just starting to realize the more I really think about it, the more I realize how often I still do that with actions and different things I say and do. So all that to say, we shouldn't need a lot of practice at this. But here's the thing, they come out and they are scared to death of Jesus, and they just say, go away. And so we'll say things like, please, please leave, go away, or whatever you can come up with. Let's practice right now. Here we go. You ready? Frightened townspeople, go away. Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Leave. Please, yes. Okay. Okay, a little more fright, a little more terror. Here, try it again. Crying, almost crying. Okay, are we ready to record? Okay, we need about 5 seconds of that. Okay, so here we go. You ready? That's it. First service, as soon as everyone got quiet, somebody said, was that it? And I said, oh, that's great for the recording, because it's me like, was that it? Is he gone? Did he go? That first service, I'll tell you. Okay, Let's play it back and set the volumes. You know what? It's funny how much it sounds like the pigs. And I don't know that that's not on purpose in the Bible. It's like you picture all those pigs running, and then you picture all the villagers begging. And it's like, just interesting is all I'm saying. No big, deep theological point there at all. You give me the thumbs up, and I'll go, because we're dramatizing the story of the Gadarene. Jesus is establishing his kingdom with the Gentiles. That's the non-Jews, in fulfillment of Scripture. And thus, he does so at night, as prophesied, to highlight the darkness surrounding all those who live outside it. So let's go. We're ready, right? I just want to make sure I'm not ahead of you.
A little too ready.
Okay. Let's see. Oh, boy. If you were here the last couple times, or if you got the CD or listened online, you know, because I'm not going to explain it today, but you know why Jesus is waiting and Legion is begging. And that's where we'll start from. So please enjoy the story. My name is Legion. For we are many. And they begged Jesus repeatedly, again and again, not to order them to go into the abyss. Now, some distance from them, a large herd of pigs was feeding. The demons begged Jesus, "Allow us to go into them." And he gave them permission. He said to them, "Go." So the evil spirits came out, shot out, like bats out of hell. And when the demons came out of the man, they scattered, divided, and they went into the pigs. And the whole herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed in the dark, unafraid of the water, terrified of Jesus, blindly charging down the steep bank into the lake. Pigs on top of pigs, plunging and pushing, pig divided against pig, until they were drowned and died in the water. That's where we left off. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off, went into the town and countryside, reported all this. And then the whole town went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told how the demon-possessed man had been cured and told about the pigs as well. When all the people of the region of the Gerasenes saw this, they asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. They began to plead with Jesus, pleading with him to leave their region. And so he got into the boat and left. And so the Gadarene is left in the light, and the rest are left in the dark. Isn't it curious? This is something I've noticed in here that really is standing out more and more to me, that the people become afraid when they see that the Gadarene is dressed at Jesus' feet. They came out and they saw that he was dressed at Jesus' feet, and oh my goodness, that's when they're afraid. Why? Well, they're used to him naked. But go back just a few months before the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus, in his apprenticeship training, right? He told the boys to love their enemies. This is when it was talk. Love their enemies, to offer their clothes, to give to those who can't repay. And now, as we've seen, this is some intensive discipleship training with his 84 disciples before he sends out 72 of them. And he's showing them his power and his authority and his identity and, of course, his love and his compassion. Where'd that guy get his clothes? Because remember, Jesus is the only one who gets out of the boat. The boys are in the boats and they're soaked. Only Jesus is on the beach with that naked Gadarene. And for some reason, we are told that Jesus, when he left Capernaum in the boat, that they took him without any extra clothes. Why is that detail in the story? If you recall, it says, if you remember, it says they took him just as he was. Where did the Gadarene get his clothes? What a lesson. What a lesson. So when the town comes out, who's undressed? And not even embarrassed, though he should be. What a weird sight at night in that cemetery. What an incredible lesson for the boys. But the townspeople, they're just freaked out. These aren't Jews. These are Gentiles. They don't know God's word. These are the two most famous people in their world, the magic Jew and the demon-filled Gadarene that everyone's terrified of. But they're freaked out that the terrifying Gadarene is no match for the guy who doesn't seem to care that he's standing over him in his underwear. And they don't know what to make of this. It's all too weird and too frightening. They fear, if that's Jesus, oh my goodness, they fear what he might ask of them. They fear what he might do to them. Same fears we have, by the way. What he might do to them, what he might take away from them. Look what he did to the pigs. Because they don't trust the love he has for them. Because they are so weak, so weak.
Why?
No joy.
Why?
They don't know his word. And the joy of the word is our strength. They have no understanding. John, the disciple, was there, and he later writes, opens his gospel with this, the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. In fact, it fears it. It fears it. I just keep that on my hip. That's it. I'm done with that for today. It fears it because we fear what we don't understand. We fear the unknown, right? The unknown is scary, especially if it's a threat to whatever pigs we're clinging to. So how well do you know the stories that Dad wrote for us, for you? Because if we fear the unknown, if we fear it, we don't understand, and we don't know his word, what does it mean? In how many subtle ways are we going to tell him to leave us? Because in reality, we fear what he might do to us. Because in reality, we don't know his word. So we ask ourselves right now, is the joy of the word your strength or your weakness? Light destroys darkness. So expect your darkness to put up a fight. Expect your darkness to fight the light to its death or yours, whichever comes first. But there will be a fight. Scary thing is, the longer we live in the dark, the less we desire the light. The dark will lose, but it will fight. Now, I'm going to take you back to something we've already talked about. Remember how we saw that the boat ride over to the Gentiles across the sea purposely parallels the story of Jonah, right? On a sea, the deadly storm, frightened sailors crying out, and of course, Jonah and Jesus soundly sleeping in the boat. And they're both woken up so that the storm can be calmed. Jonah does not parallel Jesus crossing the sea to the Gentiles by accident, happenstance, or coincidence. And so we got to return. Let's return to Capernaum. This is from the land of the Gentiles, heading back to Jesus' home office, which is right under that big old thing right there. There's a Catholic church. And that's the old synagogue, and this is the town where he was. Earlier that same day when Jesus said that Jonah is going to parallel his crossing over, because everything on this day, we've seen some of it, but everything on this day when he's officially rejected by his own as the devil is building to this big night when he first reaches out to the rest of the world and is asked to leave. He's rejected by his own, and Scripture says on the day he's rejected by his own, he goes into the nations of the dark to receive them. And they ask him to leave. What a picture. But on that day, he had told everyone there in Capernaum what would happen if the devil was divided and drove out his own demons. We saw that already before. How they'd be divided and destroyed, and how everyone would know that Jesus is God himself if he did all of it without demanding, or what do you call it? What do they say at the beginning? Don't order us. Without ordering it, but just pointing with the finger of God. That was going to be their sign. If I can do this with the finger of God, which is why the demons say, don't make us go in the abyss, let us go into the pigs. And Jesus gives them permission, not order, and just says, go. The abyss or the pigs? Well, he's got to be pointing. That finger of God, that's the sign that he gave them. And then he told them after those things, on that day, he told them how he was going to plunder the strong man's possession. And we saw how that absolutely fits the Gadarene. And then after that, according to Matthew and Luke in green, Matthew in purple, we'll weave it together. Jesus said, this is a wicked generation. It asks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. It's not by coincidence that when he gets in the boat after this and heads across, it perfectly parallels the story of Jonah. He said this would be the sign. Signs, by the way, signs and wonders are different. Wonders are like miracles, signs, scripture. It's what points you to something. It says, go to the book of Jonah, look for the sign. None will be given except the sign of the prophet Jonah. And we forget there's two signs here. Here's the first. For as Jonah was a sign to the Ninevites, pointing this vicious Gentile enemy empire to God, so also will the Son of Man be to this generation. He's going across to the Gentiles, beginning with the Roman region across the pond, that vicious Gentile enemy empire, just like Jonah. But then he says, there's another sign that he points to. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Jesus, and of course, that's referring to his own death and his resurrection. Every time Jesus goes to raise someone from the dead, he doesn't call it death. He calls it what? What's he say they're doing? Sleeping. She's sleeping. Well, he's asleep. We've got to wake him up. Why do you think Jesus is sleeping on the boat? Because he's building a sign that points to look at Jonah. You'll see the sign, but it also points to his death and what he accomplishes. Now, in the belly of the beast, Jonah weaves together different portions of Psalms to paint a picture that points to Christ's death and resurrection. That's what Jesus is pointing to. He's pointing to the sign that points back to him, which gives him the authority to calm every storm we'll ever encounter, and we'll have plenty. Our storms are ongoing because our renewal is ongoing, and we are renewed by going through the storms. Though we may embrace the light, our brain still contains all those neural networks of darkness. We got to go through and replace the bulbs. We just got to get bulbs in those hallways and in those little dark rooms in our brain, and it takes time. So with our sin and darkness, after we confess it, reject it, renounce it, and repent, we have to surrender and replace those dark old desires and beliefs and motives with the light that can only come from God's word. The only way to sever the ties of lies is with Dad's sword, Dad's word, Dad's son, Dad's light. That's all synonymous. That's the only way, because the only thing that can motivate true faith and trust, the only thing, is gratitude. Honest appreciation that comes from understanding the light of his love, which we can only grasp through his word. And if we don't practice with Dad's sword, we can't be confident in his overpowering love. And if that's the case, we'll likely lose the battle and be left in the dark as Jesus sails away. And we will realize too late that in some way we've asked our one and only hope to leave us alone. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed. One weird prayer room. In my distress, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. See, he's quoting Psalms. God hasn't done this for him yet, but he's trusting. He's singing these pieces of Psalms. And you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. But you brought my life up from the pit, O Lord my God. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. And so Jesus, like Jonah, this is the sign he points to. Jesus, like Jonah, is sent to establish the Gentile nations who ignorantly forfeit the grace that could be theirs, choosing to stay in the dark and send Jesus away. Do you forfeit the grace that could be yours? Been asking myself that. Because really, I think a better question is, how much of the grace that could be mine am I forfeiting right now? This is what we do whenever we're faced with a choice between light and darkness, and we choose to cling to the darkness, to cling to the pigs. Jonah was a sign. Oh, this is cool. I'm building up to this big scripture here at the end, this thousand-year-old. It was 1,000 years old when Jesus was there, and it prophesies everything that happens on this night. Jonah was a sign that pointed those in the dark to the light, and Jesus deliberately points to Jonah during the 3 days while he wove God's word inside the belly of the beast. And in that belly, Jonah's words are a sign that point us to Jesus' death and also to what he quotes, to David's psalm in 2 Samuel chapter 22. I can't read the whole chapter. I wish I could. But I condensed it. David wrote this psalm 1,000 years before Jesus' big day. And David's psalm in 2 Samuel 22, Jesus says, look at Jonah in the belly. You look at Jonah. He says, look at David's psalm in 2 Samuel 22. You look at 2 Samuel 22. And David's psalm says, look at God on the night when, I just want to make sure I get it all. Look at God on the big night when God calms the deadly storm, only to be met by the foe, but he tramples the legion, and he has survived the attack of his own people, and then he establishes the Gentile nations, and therefore all the nations, and he is met by the frightened foreigners who come trembling before him. This is written 1,000 years before. The waves of death swirled about me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me. But he drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy. From my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. The Lord has dealt with me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands. He has rewarded me, for I have kept the ways of the Lord. And we just have to pause. I love David's psalm. I wish we didn't have to break it. But I have to interrupt because we have to return to Capernaum one more time. Because everything on this day is building to this night, is building to this moment. Remember Jesus going to brunch with the Pharisees? The brunch is where he reveals what truly cleans your hands. Because remember, he goes to lunch with the teachers of the law, the Pharisees, and as if healing on the Sabbath wasn't bad enough for these guys, Jesus doesn't wash before eating after touching the dying, the demonic, and the diseased. And remember, they ate with their hand. The Pharisees, noticing that Jesus did not first wash before the meal, was surprised, as in repulsed. Then the Lord said to him, now then, and now that I have your attention, you Pharisees clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness. So on the inside, they're filthy and greedy. Like what? Filthy and greedy. Pigs. They're like pigs. In fact, Jesus calls them pigs. Jesus was referring to them, the Pharisees and the teachers of the laws, on the Sermon on the Mount when he warned his disciples in his Love Your Enemy teaching not to cast their pearls to the pigs. Why? Why? He said, because they'll trample them in the mud and tear you boys to pieces. But now we see that night Jesus tearing, dividing the demons into pieces, into the pigs, trampling them, casting them into the sea. Don't feel bad for the pigs. Don't feel bad for the pigs. People have told me, what's Jesus got against pigs? I know they're unclean, but wow. We already talked about how they were kind of the trap for the enemy to think God would let him go into something unclean. But understand, they were being herded for market. Jesus just saved the handlers tons of work, literally. He got all the pigs down to the loading dock, right? He washed them all. He even brought out the whole town to help out. Oh, no, wow, this has to be done right now. It's an emergency. He left the Gadarene. He's carrying those things two at a time. In the light of day, I have a feeling they probably thought, well, that worked out rather nicely. So don't feel too bad for the pigs, especially the next time you're eating bacon. Now, just before brunch, after offering the sign of Jonah, Jesus tells them about the lamp that is God's word that comes in through our eyes to light the darkness inside of us. And now we return to David's psalm that Jonah's sign in the belly points us to, that Jesus pointed to that day, that points us back to this very moment that night. You are my lamp, O Lord. The Lord turns my darkness into light. With your help, I can advance against a troop. That's Hebrew. And in Greek, we learn this. What is it in Greek? Legion against a legion. God's way, his word, is perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless. He is a shield for all who take refuge in him. For who is God besides our Lord? And who is the rock except our God? You made my adversaries bow at my feet. You made my enemies turn their backs in flight. And I destroyed my foes. They cried out for help, but there was no one to save them. They cried to the Lord, but he did not answer. His permission wasn't pity. It was a setup. I pounded and trampled them like mud in the streets. But you have delivered me from the attacks of my people. You have preserved me as the head of nations, Jew and now Gentile. People I did not know are subject to me. Foreigners come cringing to me. They all lose heart. They come trembling from their strongholds. Exalted be God, the rock, my Savior. He is the God who avenges me, who puts the nations, Jew and Gentile, under me. You exalted me above my foes. From violent men you rescued me. Therefore, I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations all. I will sing praises to your name, beginning with pointing to this very psalm. And it ends with this. He gives his king great victories, yes, over storms and monster waves and demonic dark forces. And even over our own heart, to the degree that we invite him to stay and then stay in his word. Of those who witnessed Jesus' power that night, the Gadarene was right in the light, while the rest were left in the dark. The Gadarene is set free while the villagers remain in bondage. Which is why we'll see next week he has to leave the Gadarene. It's the only light in the land. Don't forfeit the grace that could be yours. Let's pray. Father God, the joy of your word is our strength. Open our eyes to know your heart and appreciate your love more and more. Help us, Holy Spirit. Empower us to sever the lies with your sword and replace our dark old desires with your light of life. And our Lord Jesus, we embrace the grace that you offer because it is you. And in your name, we continue to worship. And everybody said, amen. Amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.